Last week, we started a sort of a series, not officially a series, but a series of the end times. And we were looking at various scriptures that referred to the end times and to the last time. And we got down to the rapture of the church. And so that's where we're going to pick it up tonight. So let's open with a word of prayer before we get started, and let's continue to look at what lies out ahead of us. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and within your word, for giving us prophecy. Father, for telling us about the end times, for telling us about the rapture of the church, for telling us about the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ, and then, Father, closing it all out by telling us a little bit about heaven. Father, thank you for giving us your word. May we follow your word. May we understand your word. May we rightly divide thy word of truth, that we might be workmen which needeth not to be ashamed. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do during this time. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we looked at latter times or last days. We looked at last time in Jude. And as I look around at the society that we're living in, I can't help but think that it is the last days. I think it is, but Paul thought it was too when he wrote to Timothy and warned him, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, we're living in perilous times. If you don't think so, drive across Dorchester Road and see if you make it.
Okay.
That we are in perilous times, but we don't have to be afraid, because we are the children of God. And so God is going to keep us, or God is going to take us home. Either way, we are in God's care. So now we come to the rapture of the church. We're going to start in John chapter 14. That's a good place to start when we start talking about the rapture of the church. John chapter 14. Jesus was getting ready to leave this world. He knew he was going to the cross. He was going to pay the price for our sin. And he was letting the disciples know a little bit about what was going to happen. So he says in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And then verse 3, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, this is the first mention of Christ's return. And in the rapture, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is not coming back to the earth for the rapture of the church. We are going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. He will not set foot on the earth. It will be in a cloud. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at that right now. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now, we would not know this, that Jesus is coming in the air, if it hadn't been for some angels telling the disciples what was going to happen. Now, they didn't connect that. Not then. It wasn't until centuries later that got connected. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus ascended from among his disciples and was received by a cloud." And they stood there, and I don't imagine there was a closed mouth in the group. There he was, being taken up. Verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming back in a cloud. Why is he coming back? He's coming back for his people, for his church, for his bride. And Paul, wanting to explain this to the Thessalonian church, you see, churches, as they got started, we have some real advantages. We have a completed Bible. We have the Word of God. We can, if we choose to, sit down and actually read it from cover to cover. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to us, to help us to understand what is being said. Now, the Thessalonian church, which was one of the churches that Paul planted, the Thessalonian church had been told by false prophets, by Jewish men who had come in and lied to them. And this is why this book is truth. And if we're gonna worship the Lord, we've got to worship him in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the only kind of worship that God will accept. So these false prophets had come in and told the Thessalonians they were too late. The rapture had already taken place. The people had been taken out, and they were left. Now, if you have lived any years at all, there may have been an occasion in your life where you may have thought, you may have asked the question, did the rapture take place? Because somebody you were expecting to find in a particular place was not there. There had been a time or two where I thought, where's everybody? Am I all alone? So Paul explains to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is dealing with the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. It does not appear. That is a human word that has been added for people who understand what that means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," the ones who have died ahead of them, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For thus we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." You don't hear many "thus saith the Lord" these days, but "thus saith the Lord," "that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." You see what those angels said? Same manner that he went away, he's coming back for his church. And it's very specific. We will see them and we will meet him in the clouds, not on earth, to meet the Lord in the air. There can be no question, folks, the rapture is going to take place in the air. We are going to join Jesus in the air. And we're going to join Patsy Hucks in the air. She's being brought back with him. Then we finish it. Verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So, folks, when we lose a loved one, if they know Jesus Christ, we don't have to sorrow for their loss. We are just separated for a while. We're either going to join them in death, or we're going to join them at the rapture when Jesus comes back for his church. We are the bride of Christ. That's why we need to keep ourselves holy and pure, that we can be a good bride for him. So, the next event that we are looking for will be the rapture of the church. There is no other prophecy that has been not fulfilled that would prevent the rapture from occurring. Now, I will tell you, many of us are asking God, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we're ready to go. We don't want to, some of us are cowards. We don't want to go through the pain of sickness or something like that to get to the other side. We'd like it to happen everybody together. And so that's what we're watching for. And we're watching for it because the stage has been set. We have been warned that when the perilous times come, when men shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, when wickedness is proliferating everywhere, when there is no such thing as truth, and we're in those days. We're in those days. And so we believe, some of us believe, that the rapture is going to occur, that it's not that far away. Now, I told you last week that when we were thinking about this, that when Connie and I were planning our trip, I was a little fearful that we might not be able to make it. I'd be disappointed that we wouldn't be able to do it because the Lord might come back and get his church. I was being facetious. If the Lord comes back, I will be happy. We all will be happy. Just imagine what is going to transpire. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed. This flesh, this mortal body is going to take on immortality. We're told that in Corinthians 15th chapter, beginning of verse 51. And we are going to be changed. And we are going to be prepared to meet the Lord near. We're going to have the same kind of body he has. Same kind of body. Everybody's going to have the same kind of body. So, after the rapture, the thing that begins to happen, we have all heard the term Antichrist. There has been speculation, so-and-so is the Antichrist, or this man is the Antichrist, or George Soros is the Antichrist, or, you know, there's a lot of speculation around. We don't know who the Antichrist is. He's not coming from this country, I can tell you that. He is coming from one of the Mediterranean countries. That we know from prophecy, but we don't know exactly which country he's coming from. And so when the rapture occurs and the church is taken out, the Holy Spirit is taken out with it because the church is part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and every believer is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So when the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world. Now it is the Holy Spirit that's giving some stability to us who are gathered here tonight, us who were gathered here this morning. That's the Holy Spirit that's giving us stability and the assurance that we belong to God. He tells us that. Ask him. He's in your heart. Do I belong to God? God, do you really want me? Am I really your child? So the Holy Spirit will be taken out, and this world will begin a time of tribulation, called tribulation. It is a seven-year period, but it does not begin the day the church is taken out. because the Antichrist needs to come to power first, and the entire world needs to accept him as its leader. That will take some time, months at least. And so once the Antichrist comes to power, and once that he agrees, the next thing that has to happen before the tribulation begins is the Antichrist has to make an agreement with Israel. The Antichrist has to agree that Israel can rebuild the temple. Now, I don't know how that's going to work, because right now, the Dome of the Rock occupies the space where the temple was supposed to be. That's a Muslim worship place. But that's where the temple is to be rebuilt, on that site. And as soon as the Antichrist makes an agreement with Israel that they can rebuild the temple, that will be the beginning of a 7-year tribulation. Jesus talked about it when he was here on this earth. It begins in Matthew chapter 24. So let's turn there. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning with verses 21 and 22. Jesus is warning the disciples. Now, they thought when he warned them that this was going to happen immediately. Well, folks, it's been 2,000 years, and it hasn't happened yet. But Christians have been looking for this for 2,000 years. Matthew 24, 21, and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. This tribulation that Jesus warns about, there will be nothing like it ever in history. Not before, not after. This is a one-time occurrence. It is 7 years and long. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, Jesus is talking about something that occurs in, let's just turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. And if we go down to verse 4 of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, there is an event that takes place. The Jehovah's Witnesses will push this real hard at you. But they're not right. They're wrong. But it says, one of the things that, let's just take the whole chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed as servants of our Lord God in their foreheads. All right? So the tribulation has not quite started yet at this point. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah. And it goes on to name 12 tribes. There is one tribe that normally is named with the tribes of Israel that is omitted. Do you know what that tribe is? Daniel. Daniel. Or Dan, not Daniel, Dan, the tribe of Dan. Now, there was no tribe of Daniel. the tribe of Dan, because they went into idolatry. If you folks are missing Wednesday night, you're missing a lot of prophecy, because we are studying the minor prophets. And this is one of the things that they are talking about, is what is taking place in Israel, what is to take place, what is taking place, and also what we are doing here today in this country, expecting to receive the exact same judgment that Israel and Judah received, because we are doing the same things. And God is just. So the tribe of Dan is not named here, but 12 tribes are named. And they are all sealed in their foreheads. These are Jewish men who are virgins. They have never known a woman. We are told that a little bit later in the book of Revelation. These men are going to be the representatives of God during the tribulation. They are going to be following Jesus Christ. They are going to be representing Jesus Christ. And they are going to go throughout the world telling people about Jesus. And there are those who will not receive the mark of the beast. There are those who will not listen to Satan, who will not worship Satan or the political beast. Or the dragon, they will be saved because of the witness of these 144,000. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They are Jewish young men. Jewish young men who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when these are the elect saved, and as these elect go around witnessing, there are those who will believe. There will be millions saved during the tribulation. Revelation 5, chapter 5 talks about seeing the souls under the altar. And it talks throughout the book of Revelation about all those souls being saved. And so there will be people saved. It's not too late when the tribulation comes, but for those who have heard the word, it is too late. If you have heard the gospel, once the tribulation begins, you cannot be saved. You say, well, why do you say that? We're covering a lot of ground tonight. I don't know how far we're going to get. Hebrews chapter 6. Just back toward the front of the Bible, just a couple of books. Few pages. Hebrews chapter 6. When I was first saved and in Bible school, I didn't understand this. It was a problem for me. But let me begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews, and he says, okay, let's forget the foundation that's been laid. Let's forget the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to the perfect time, the perfect situation. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. That's already been taken care of. People have already repented. Except for those during the tribulation. But this is for those who have heard the gospel. They have believed or they have not believed. Of the doctrine of the baptisms and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. All the teachings of the Bible, let's not lay those foundations again. Paul is saying, let's look at what the situation is for those who know all these things. And this will we do, if God permit, for it is impossible. Now, here's where it really starts to get difficult. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, for those who have heard the gospel, who have had the gospel presented to them, and they have understood it. They have understood what was being preached. They've understood what the Word of God was saying. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God, the Bible, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, if they shall reject Jesus Christ, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. They will be unable to repent. They will be unable to be saved. Unable to be saved. They will have the knowledge, but they still won't be able to believe. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. So folks, by the time we get to the tribulation, it will be too late for those that you have witnessed to be saved. When the Bible refers to now is the day of salvation, now, when you are receiving the witness, that is when you should be saved. That is when you should accept the witness of the gospel. Because if you delay it long enough for the tribulation to start, you will not be able to be saved, period. Only those who have never heard the gospel, only those who have never understood it, when they reject the dragon, the devil, the leadership of the Antichrist, when they reject that, then they can be saved. During the tribulation, there will be millions saved during the tribulation. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. They will be shortened to 7 years. 7 years. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're in the tribulation right now. We're moving into that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. He has not been revealed yet. But folks, we're probably getting awfully close. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is referring to two different times. This is referring to two different events. The first event is the identifying of the Antichrist. We are told in God's Word there are many Antichrists in the world, but there will be one Antichrist during the tribulation who will rule the entire world. Anyway, here's some things. Boy, I can't believe time's going this fast. You want to hear something that really caused me to stop and consider? We are told in the book of Revelation during the tribulation that unless a person gets the mark of the beast, they will not be able to buy or sell or exist. And now the United States government is getting ready to start a vaccine passport. Without it, you will not be able to enter a grocery store. You will not be able to enter, right now you can't enter a restaurant in several cities across the country without a vaccination passport. Boy. How did God know so far in advance that things like this were going to happen? Now, I'm not saying that, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that this COVID vaccine business is part of this. It's not, I don't believe it is. But it is being set up for the Antichrist to be able to come in and do these kind of things. You cannot eat in a restaurant. Where's Lacey? Has Josh said anything about having to have his shot before he can get in a restaurant? Okay. In New York City, there's most of the restaurants you cannot get into unless you've got your vaccination passport. And here the Bible's telling us about that, and people wonder, how could this happen? You're seeing it. You're seeing it take place right in front of you. Now, the falling away, okay, it's taking place. The denying of God, there is a political party who has denied him. Why there are people still in that party who believe in God, I don't know. But God has been taken out of all of the correspondence of that particular party. And it's not just a single party. The whole government is moving that way. And it is part of the progressives. The progressives are looking for a one-world government. What is Antichrist looking for? He's looking for a one-world government. All of this stuff that's going on right now is moving in that direction. Wow. What an exciting time to be living in. That we can actually anticipate the Lord coming back for his bride. I want to get one more. It's 7 o'clock, but I want to get one more Bible verse or passage that we can look at. With regard to the tribulation, and that'll be Daniel 9:27. This is dealing with the Antichrist confirming the covenant with the Jews that they can rebuild the temple. And by the way, I have been told by people that I believe that they have all of the materials prepared and stockpiled to rebuild that temple, that it can be built in 30 days or less. Now, I don't know the truth of it. I haven't seen it myself. I haven't been there. But I have had people tell me who have been there that the materials are there. Okay, Daniel 9:27. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many, Israel, for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and the determined shall be and consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the middle of the tribulation, 42 months, halfway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel. He will go to the temple. He will sacrifice a pig, which is an unclean animal, to the Jews, and he will take control of the world. That's all in the tribulation. We're out of time for tonight. But we'll come back and look a little bit more about the tribulation next week, okay? Because there's an awful lot about it. We'll look at some of the things in the Bible that has to do with the tribulation. Because it's a time you don't want to go through. And it's a time that we're not going to go through. We will look at where God said, we will not. He will not leave us here. That's why we think that since we are approaching the time of the tribulation, that we should be preparing for God to take us home. Now, we're going to have special meetings in February if the Lord tarries. And we're going to have more special meetings in September if the Lord tarries. But folks, if the Lord doesn't tarry, we won't be having those special meetings. Because we won't be here. This is an exciting time to be living in. To see God working all around us. To see the things that have been prophesied taking place in our time. Seeing the possibilities of how things can be accomplished. We shouldn't be scared. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We're on our way out when Jesus comes. Now, the more preparation we do and the more we study this, I hope that you anticipate his coming more and more. Because his coming is it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Whether it will be in our lifetime, I hope it is. But Paul thought he was coming too, and that was 2,000 years ago. So we have to be prepared. We have to live like it is telling us. But anyway, any questions on what we've covered tonight? Any comments? Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, a card for Jimmy? Okay. All right. Okay. There's a card back there for Jimmy if you want to sign it. I met with Jimmy this afternoon. He's doing all right. I asked him, what do I tell the church? He said, tell the church that I'm getting by. Okay? He's not ready to talk to any of us. He gets very emotional when he thinks about Patsy, when he thinks about her things, and he's not going to be able to talk about her for a few days. But we will be having the memorial service at 2:00 here on Saturday. Okay? So you are all invited to participate. Jimmy and his whole family will be here. Any other questions? Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for sharing with us your word. And Father, thank you for making it possible for us to understand what it is you're trying to tell us. And thank you, Father, that you loved us enough to call us, to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. Thank you, Father, that you do love us. And Father, may we be used by you to share your love with the world around us. Father, may we share it with our neighbors and our friends and our families. And Father, may your Holy Spirit go ahead of us and prepare hearts that when we share the gospel, that heart will be open to it and ready to accept Jesus as Savior. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Thank you for being in control. And Father, we commit our time to thee. Use us. May we be your servants in Christ. And we will praise you for all that you do in each of our lives. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.